Would you open the Word of God with me this morning? We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. We've started the story through our Advent reading. We're going to continue that story together. While you are turning there, I just add my word of congratulations to all of our graduates. I was looking to see if one more slipped in. But in a really scary move on behalf of the Evansville School District, they appointed Eric to be a high school English teacher at North High School. Woo! Isn't that awesome? We're going to have a special prayer meeting for the high school right after the worship service today. If you'd like to stay and join us. I couldn't think of anybody I'd rather entrust my high schooler to. Wow. The story continues in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to pick it up just a couple of verses to get the context again. The angel came and surprised those shepherds and gave them this amazing message that they had an opportunity before them. But then as if to punctuate or to add credence to what the angel had said already, suddenly we read in verse 13, if you are following along in Luke chapter 2, page, I think it's 857 in your pew Bible, suddenly there was with the angel who had been speaking a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." And when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go over to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went. Went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the sayings that had been told to them concerning this child. In other words, they told Mary and Joseph the story of what had happened to them that evening. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They wondered. But Mary treasured these things, Scripture says, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard as it had been told to them. This is the very word of God. Oh, thank you, God. Wow. Well, what can you put yourself into this story? It's so important for us, isn't it? Not just to hear these things, but actually believe that we were included in God's mind when these events happened. He was thinking of us as well. And inviting us as well to respond. But when I start to do that, I find myself taken aback because what would that really be like if an angel just suddenly appeared to me and began speaking to me of these things? I tried to mess around with it. I don't know if I did a very good job, but I was trying to think, well, what if someone were to approach you and to say, "There's a winning lottery ticket with your name on it in a village near you dedicated to a large man in a red suit with a white beard. What would you do?" You'd think, "Pastor has lost his mind," would be your first thought. But your second thought would be, "A village dedicated, help me, Santa Claus, Indiana," right? And something far beyond what I could ever imagine is there waiting for me, right? I got a choice right here. Now, keep in mind, there was, I don't know how far away they were from Bethlehem when the angel, I don't imagine they were as far as from here to Santa Claus, but they still had a choice. And I want to suggest to you that we have a choice even this morning as we come to God's Word. We can just listen and maybe even cast judgment about how well I deliver that Word or something, or we can let the Word speak to us. We can actually believe that God loves us and is speaking to us as well. So I wanted to just invite you. Let's see if we can learn from the shepherds, maybe how we can write ourselves into the story. We're already written in the story, how we can respond to God's word as well. And I'm going to suggest to you maybe there's three ways that the shepherds responded to the good news that might speak into our lives as well. The first one is this, that they listened well. They listened well. And this is important because Paul would tell us later that faith comes from hearing, right? Faith comes from hearing the message, Romans 10:17, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Will you say our memory verse with me today? Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. And our address today is Romans 10:17. So this is not just a pedantic exercise. This is a truth for us this morning, that it matters how you listen. And I think Jesus was aware of that, because he picked up on a phrase from the prophet Ezekiel and said it many, many times to his disciples. Let the one who has ears to hear, hear, right? Just because a sound bounces off of our eardrums doesn't mean that we get it, that we're actually listening. I can think of a few painful examples of that in my own life, where someone was speaking and her name was Karen, and all of a sudden she would catch me and challenge me. Did you hear what I just said? And I would be in a moral dilemma, because to a certain extent I did hear what she said, but I didn't listen to what she said. Does that make sense? These shepherds listened well. I'm going to suggest to you that there's something to be careful of, or to beware of. I think beware is probably just a conflation of be aware of, right? There's something to be aware of, and there's something to do in this message that the angel is bringing them. What is the something to beware? Beware of being distracted by the messenger. Beware of being distracted. Now, that could be in a positive sense, where, well, oh my goodness, there's an archangel in front of me, and I'm so in awe that I'm distracted by the glory of the situation, don't hear, or worse, put into practice what the angel said. And let's bring that down, bring the cookies down to a lower shelf here for a second. We do that all the time in our culture, don't we? We get awed by a football player or somebody who did something that is important to us, maybe a rock star or a musician, and we become so in awe of the messenger that we don't catch the message instead, right? So it can happen in a positive sense, but I think more often it happens in a negative sense, that because of the nature of that, we diminish the messenger, and therefore we diminish the message. Why? Let me ask you, why did the angel choose to tell the shepherds this amazing news? You've heard before, it's not rocket science to figure they were not at the top of the food chain, right, in that culture. In fact, many have made a case for saying, though we in this day have a romantic view of what shepherds are because of things like Psalm 23, many have made the case that in that culture they were probably pretty close to the bottom of the food chain. Young teenagers who couldn't do anything else got to watch the sheep. Maybe people who had made mistakes and somehow failed society or something, and couldn't advance through the other ranks, became the watchers of other people's animals. Did that make sense? So though we might, I'm sorry, I'm laughing. I have a visitor. It's not an angel. It's got little spots. Have a good time. We have this ladybug season at Olivet. And many of us as well are tempted to diminish the message by the messenger that brings it. So I think it was very intentional on God's part. I think he chose to use those who in that society might not be looked upon as great stewards of the message, and said, I'm going to use even them, because as Paul would say later, I'm drawing a blank for a second, in 2 Corinthians 4:7, Paul would say, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, right? So that the greatness of the power may be of God and not of ourselves. It's not about the messenger, right? It's about the treasure. It's about the message itself. Some do get glorious visions. Praise God that he does reveal himself in that way. Some get angels. This is the third group of people or third persons that we've seen that got visits from an angel. But many just get a simple shepherd. Many just get a neighbor or a friend. Many just get a sideways comment from a co-worker. Some don't get those at all. Some just get a dusty book on their coffee table. And you're thinking, wow, what could that book possibly, how could that book possibly speak into my life? It's really easy to diminish the message by the medium with which it comes. But here's the reality. The medium is not the message, right? The medium is not the message. It's the message that God wants us to get here. So there's something to be aware of. Don't be distracted by the messenger. But there's also something to do here. And again, even though this is a story about the shepherds, we get to see another insight into the life of the woman that we looked at 2 weeks ago. This 14 or 15-year-old girl named Mary. We get this amazing opportunity to see again and to learn again from this teenager. But Mary treasured these things, all these things, pondering them in her heart, Luke 2:19 tells us. So what can we do? Well, two things here. I'm going to take them backwards. First, we can ponder. We can think deeply about the things that we have heard. That word for ponder just means to revolve in your mind. I don't know if I can do this well, but to look at it from one point of view, but then to turn it around and to look from a different perspective. And maybe to keep revolving that in your mind, to ponder what it is that this message has been given, this message that's been given to you says. Famous examples exist where teachers in classes would say, would you look at this one verse and tell me what it says? And everybody goes right to it. They look at it for 30 seconds and they say, yeah, I know what it says. It says we should think about these things, right? But wisely, the teacher will say, no, I want you to take a half hour and tell me 30 things about this verse. And we go, what? What? One teacher in a college, it was actually a pastor's conference, did that and invited all the, there was about 3,000 pastors there, invited them to think deeply about one verse and to take a half hour. And they're all sitting in a big room. And so one of my mentors, one of my pastor friends, said he thought about that, took about 10 minutes, and then came up with four or five really good, profound insights, and put his pencil down, and then saw that that nobody else was putting their pencil down, and got shamed into picking his pencil back up and looking more deeply, and spent the whole half hour finally coming up with 30 different things. Well, the interesting thing for me about that was the teacher said at the end of that half hour, the teacher said, how many of you got your deepest insights in the first 5 minutes? Nobody raised their hand. How many of you got your first insights in the first 15 minutes or 20 minutes? And nobody raised their hand. Do you see where I'm going with this? Mary pondered these things. She let them revolve in her mind and looked at them from many different angles. This friend just said that what freed it for me was to start thinking about what the scripture wasn't saying. And it turned it upside down and gave me a huge awareness. Beloved, is any word of scripture wasted? Is it trivial? No, it's not. God always has more for you if you will slow down, if you will ponder. All these events are happening. The shepherds are telling this story to Mary, but Mary it's not lost on her. She's pondering it. She's thinking about it. But did you see that they used another word too there to describe Mary's reaction? The word, I think, in our ESV was treasured. She treasured this thing. And that's a word that kind of goes deeper. It has been translated in many places to just simply remember, but it's much stronger than that. It's more akin to the word savor. She savored these things in her heart. She preserved them in her mind, but even more important, she kept it alive. She kept it alive. And I think about during those next 30 years, how many times that those words of the shepherd would come back to her when glorious moments were happening and miracles were happening right in front of her, but also when very difficult challenges were coming. She would go back to these things that she had pondered. She'd go back to these things that she had treasured. And she would savor again the impact on her will and on her mind. I think what this means, what this word treasure means, is to let something affect you deeply. Let it affect you deeply. to ask yourself this question. If I really believed this truth that I'm hearing, if I really believed it, how would my life be different? How would it affect my relationships with others? How would it affect my thinking, my feelings? How would it affect my actions? How would it affect my attitude toward God? Mary's given us an amazing gift this morning to ponder and to treasure the very words of God. If you don't ponder these things, if you don't let them revolve in your will and in your mind and act upon them, then your ears may indeed hear them, but your mind will not, and you will not be changed. And one day you'll look up and say, "What happened?" And God will say, "It was right there before you all the time. It was right there. They listened well." This Christmas season, especially with all the other messages out there, listen well. That's what I love about the children's pageant. From out of the mouths of babes comes these powerful truths. That's what I love about our candlelight communion. We get to tell the story again in scripture, yes, and in song, and to worship God together. I invite you to listen well this Christmas season. But I invite you also to overcome your fear. To overcome your fear, like the shepherds overcame their fear. Let me see if I can do this. We learned recently from a survey that 90% of the people in the greater Evansville area believe in God. They say they believe in God. So let me ask you for a second. Help me for just a second. Is this God we say we believe in, is this God all-powerful? Is he? Help me. Okay, a lot of nodding heads. Yeah, I'm going to go there. I'm going to go there with you. Is this God that we say we believe in, Evansville? Is this God completely and unreservedly loving? Is he? Okay, more nodding heads. Okay, yeah. And you know that those two truths side by side have caused many to stumble, right? I've shared with you before, my own brother-in-law's struggle to put those two things. How could God allow things to happen if he's all-powerful and all-loving? I can believe one or the other, but I can't believe both. But you've experienced the power of God, beloved. You've experienced the love of God. And so you understand that he can be both. You understand that we were created for this perfect relationship with an all-powerful and all-loving God. It makes sense then, doesn't it? That if we have a perfect relationship with an all-powerful and an all-loving God, we would not be afraid of him then, would we? Right? Are you following me? Did I put you to sleep already? I'm good at that. You should see me on Thursday mornings with the nursing home. It's like that. They see me. And they pass out in the hallway. Okay? It makes sense, doesn't it? It makes sense that if we really understood this, we would not be afraid. Amen? Appreciate your helping me in this. So let's flip it. Let's flip it. If we are afraid. There's been a couple times in the last 2 weeks where just a wave of fear washed over me. What happens when fear washes over you, right? You start to think about, what am I going to do, right? What am I going to do? How do I protect myself? What am I going to do? And the fight or flight mechanism takes over, and we want to run away, or we want to fight. Or that third possibility, we want to run to God. Say, God, will you help me? Will you help me in this? It makes sense that if we were in a perfect relationship, we would not fear. But it also makes sense that if we're fearing, then we're experiencing a brokenness in the relationship. Doesn't it? Hey, I'm with you on this. I love God with all my heart, but I find sometimes that I fear. And so I'm surmising that something must be broken in that relationship. When in Genesis 3, it's amazing that the story is the same from Genesis all the way to Revelation. But when in Genesis 3, humans rejected God's rule in their life, it broke their relationship with God. And without going into that whole exposition of that, it broke their relationship with each other. The consequence was fear. And this is the situation that the shepherds found themselves in. For 400 years, immediately leading up to this story today, humanity had not seen or heard a thing from God. For 400 years, they had the book, or more accurately, probably the scrolls, but they were discounting the message, right? We haven't heard this. How many generations is that? That's like 80 generations, right? They had not seen or heard anything. Can you believe a dusty book when you haven't seen something in that long? Fear took over. So surprise, surprise, when God shows up in the form of this angel, when God shows up, they're terrified. It's a stronger word. They're not just afraid. They are terrified. And people always experience fear in the presence of the holy, right? That's what made the angel's message so astonishing. The angel said to them, and I believe the angel says to you in the midst of your fear this morning, you don't have to be afraid anymore. If you listen to what I'm saying, if you look at what I'm showing you, I believe that's a message for us today, you guys. God is speaking. And God knows that sometimes we need to not just hear, we need to see something. He's inviting us to open our eyes to the miracles that are right here around us right now. Scripture tells us that the shepherds were terrified. It could have been as simple as the fear of the presence of God. That would certainly be enough. It would explain it. I would be done. We'd go from there. Or it could have been that I am more like the shepherds than I had thought. It could be that the angel was asking them to overcome their fear. The fear maybe of something different, right? Their fear of something different. Their fear of looking foolish. What would the other shepherds think? If we go running off, we leave the sheep and go running off and then come back and tell them what an angel told us, what will they think? What will people think if you start following this Christ child? If you start surrendering your life to him, what will they think about you? They'll think you're a fool. They'll think you're foolish. Could be that they were afraid of having to change, having to adjust their worldview, having to think differently about the way things really worked. The angel was offering them another way. The angel was offering them this opportunity to put their weight down, not on everything that had always happened before, not in the way, the thought patterns that had gotten them out there to the fields outside of Bethlehem, but to put their weight down or their faith in God again. You see, I mean, it's a cliche, but it's true. Faith is the antidote for fear, right? Faith is the antidote for fear. I've got a chance to practice that in the last couple of weeks. And when that would start to rise up, I'd say, God, you are sovereign. You are all powerful. I believe that, God, with all my heart. God, you are all loving. I'm not going to start surrendering my fear. Will it be my children driving through storms to get home, or the future? Will the finances hold up? All those different things. All those possible fears. Faith is the antidote. That is he in charge or not? Is he all loving and all powerful or not? I love about this story in particular is that they didn't suddenly just stand there and declare this amazing amount of faith. Faith, contrary to popular belief, often happens in very, very small steps, right? In small obediences. You see, all of a sudden, the angels were gone. And I don't know about you, but when I have those kinds of experience and then they're over, my mind cast out, says, did that really happen? Was that a dream? What exactly just happened to me? All of a sudden, the angels were gone. All of a sudden, the heavenly hosts were still. All of a sudden, the shepherds were left completely alone with only the message that the angels had given echoing in their ears. I chuckled this morning as I was thinking again about this message and about the angels' encouragement, because it sounded a lot to me like the angels were saying, stop, look, and listen. Have you heard that expression before? Yeah, every time you cross a railroad track, right? Stop, look, and listen. The angel was saying, don't be afraid. Be perceiving. Be perceiving. Glory is happening all around you. Truth is unfolding right before your eyes. Perceive it. Do you perceive it? See, suddenly they were surrounded by only a dangerous silence. They used the word dangerous because if they did not respond right then very possibly the opportunity would be lost and we would never have heard about those shepherds again. Now, they would have continued their lives, but they would have continued their unimpressive and uneventful lives forever, right? I don't know about you. I don't want that to be on my tombstone, right? Unimpressive. Insignificant. God spoke, but, you know, he had other things to do. I don't want that. I don't want that. And praise God, the shepherds didn't want that either. They pondered what the angel had said. There was this little dialogue going on. And I love this. It happened together. Shall we? Let's go to Bethlehem and see if what the angels said were true. I'd love to go into the whole group dynamic aspect of it, but I don't completely understand it. All I do know is that when you encourage me in my faith, when you say, let's believe God, let's trust God, let's believe that his word is true, boy, that lifts me up. That just makes me, yes, let's do. And probably when you say to me, I'm not sure you can really trust that, your words are like angels' words, right? Angel just means messenger. The question is not, are you a messenger? The question is, what kind of message are you bringing? Are you bringing one of encouragement and of belief and of faith? Are you bringing one of doubt and fear? But the shepherds got together and somehow they came to the conclusion that they were going to go and see. And guess what? Guess what? They found it exactly as the angel had said. So not only did they encourage each other, not only did they go together and experience the second blessing. They had seen the glory of the heavenly host, and now they saw the glory of God become flesh. They saw the child in his mother's arms. They found out that everything that the angel said would be true. They sought encouragement from one another, and through that encouragement, they went. They went to Bethlehem to see for themselves. They found what the angel said to be true. Wow. Didn't end there. Scripture tells us that at the end, they went into the world to share the joyful news. And it just harkened me back. Remember in our study of the Great Commission? It's easy, yeah, to see the old King James, go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. But we've discovered that it's much more beautiful than that, right? That actually, if that was more accurately translated, it would say, in your going, in whatever you do, and wherever you go, make fully devoted followers of all people groups, in your going, make disciples. I want to challenge you this Christmas, come to Bethlehem and see. Isn't that a hymn? That's a Christmas carol. Come and see for yourself and then go and tell, right? Go and tell someone else. How they respond to it's going to be up to them and God. But you're responsible to make known what God has revealed to you. Well, two quick questions as we wrap up here. One is, where did they go? It just says they returned, right? So I don't know. I know I'm reading too much into that one little expression, but I want to just suggest to you that they returned back to their workplace, right? They were shepherds. The last place we saw them was in the fields. They returned to their workplace and they shared the news there. But I'm going to push it and say that they returned home as well. They started with those closest to them. And this Holy Day season, people are gathering around you and you are gathering around others. What will the echo of your presence be? What will the story be that resonates in people's hearts after being with you this holy season? I pray that it's the same as the shepherds. Glory to God in the highest and on earth. Peace and goodwill to all, right? They went home. Started home this Christmas season. Are you responsible for how people respond to the message? No, you're not. It's interesting that the scripture said the people who heard the shepherds were amazed at what they said. They're amazed. Wow. Quite a story. Wow. Right? It doesn't say that their lives were changed. We're not told that they believed. That's not the shepherd's responsibility. Right? That's God's responsibility. All they were responsible to do was to pass it on, to share the story. But even though it might have just caused amazement for the people who heard it, it changed the shepherds forever. The message had a powerful effect on the shepherds, who the scripture says glorified and praised God for the things that they had seen and heard. Wow. So let's anchor ourselves real powerfully for a second. What is the message? And we call it good news, which is literally that word gospel, right? We call it good news. What is the message that the shepherds got? What is the message that God is asking you to take to your workplace, to your home this Christmas? What is the message? For unto you is born this day a Savior. A Savior. Let's share with you before the legacy, in almost 23 years now, the legacy of my pastoral ministry is that most of us can easily believe that there is a God and can easily believe that God loves people and that He's all powerful, but it's very hard for them to believe that God loves them and wants to make a powerful difference in their lives. And the message that the angels brought to the shepherds, the message the shepherds reflected to Mary and Joseph and then took back home to their people, was that unto you is born this day the city of David, a Savior. A Savior. Beloved, you have a Savior. And that changes everything. No longer is it about your works. No longer is it about what you did right or what you did wrong. Now it is about a God who loved you so much that He left heaven to come identify with you and to save you. I just want to invite you this Christmas season, if you miss that truth, you've missed everything. And I've shared with you before, but the first year that I was here, the second Christmas, I was back in Southern California, where I had spent a lot of time investing in a young up-and-coming woman who is a businesswoman, awesome lady, wrestled with truth of God's Word, wrestled with it. And we spent countless times together trying to work through some of the same things that Chad is going to lead us through on Wednesday nights in the new year. How do I wrestle with the problem of evil? How do I understand incarnation, that God has become flesh? And I went back a year after being here in Evansville to Canoga Park, and on Christmas Eve we were able to be with a church that I had served there, and she came running across the parking lot to me. She came running across the parking lot, and you could just see joy on her face. And I said, "What happened? What happened to you?" And she said, I finally got it. I finally was able to believe that God loved me. I never had a problem, Dave, with God loving you. I had a problem with God loving me. And that Christmas, God became her Savior as well. And I just want to invite you to experience Him as your Savior this Christmas. Our worship team, come up, would you please? This morning, you have that same opportunity that came to the shepherds. And you can discount the message. You can hang on and go out those doors in a little while and let it not affect you. You certainly can discount the messenger, because there's nothing about this messenger that approaches the glory of that message. Or you can hear and you can see for yourself whether or not what the angel said is true. And maybe, just maybe, the heavens will open up for you as well. Maybe, just maybe, the trajectory of your life will be forever changed. Maybe, just maybe, should the Lord tarry, generations will be blessed because of your response, beloved, right now, because of your response to the Word of God. Pray with me, would you? God, thank you so much for your Word. It never returns to you void. I have such confidence, God, that you are moving and active among us. And your word is helping those of us who struggle to discern between the fine points of truth. You have given us minds, God, that refuse to let us put our weight down on something we can't completely understand. But your word never fails, God, and you are truth. I pray for those who are in fear today, who find themselves overwhelmed by what they might lose, God, should they believe your message. And I ask you, God, would you instead allow us to see what we might gain if we can put our weight down on this amazing, this glorious, this life-changing truth. We love you, God. Do it again, would you? Show us your glory today.